You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Come on, how many of y'all appreciate our veterans? This past week, I feel like I'm about to like sing a song with a guitar. I never sit down. I feel like a grand old Opry right here. But I'm sorry, that's where my mind goes. One of our neighbors across the street from us, we invited him to church last month, and he was coming and just like jumped right in. His name is Gabe, and he was coming and sitting on the front row with us. Well, he had this dream that he wanted to be in special operations, I think it is, special forces or something like that. And he said, "Pastor Damon, can you just pray, man? I've got these tests that I haven't been able to get over." And he started coming and went to the man cave. Well, he passed his test, and they immediately said, "Your date to like come to training is like November the 3rd. And so what was really cool, though, was that we invited him to church. He jumped into the man cave, and all of the guys in the man cave were able to send him into this season where he's going to be serving our country. So I thought that that was really cool, that we were able to see a young man who was my neighbor come in, jump into a small group right away, and then we were able to send him into the season of life where he's going to be serving people. And so it's really cool. But if you served in the military, we honor you today, because as a pastor and as a church, we know that we're standing on your shoulders, and it's your freedom. It's your gift of freedom that allows us to be able to be here. And so we honor you today. We do not take that lightly in any way. Can we honor them one more time? Can I just kind of preach sitting down? Is that okay if we just kind of have a conversation? If I can, probably won't. So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We kicked off a series called Use What You Got last week. It's focused around taking a different approach to Thanksgiving. We don't want to just take Thanksgiving as a day. We want to just kind of shift our thinking and identify some things that the Lord has already put in our house. Last week we just had a thought that Jesus won't ask us to use what we don't have. Jesus will ask us to use what we do have, but he won't ask us to use what we don't got. And that was the phrase. Use what you got is what we kicked off last week. And the thought was for us to, we made a list of things that we feel like missing from our life, because that seems to be the thing that you and I focus on the most, is what's missing. And then before we left last week, I challenged everyone to take inventory of what God has put in your life, because there are skills, talents, gifts, resources in your life that we overlook while we're focusing on the things that we feel like are missing. And so hopefully you all took inventory. I went home last night and I thought, well, I asked the church that question. I probably should answer that myself. And I realized that, and this is what I did. I realized that the things that I had overlooked were the things that I'd forgotten to praise God about. So I turned the things that God had given me that I had been overlooking and turned them into praise. So what I decided to do, I made my list of inventory and I just started praising God for those things, because I realized that what I may have used as a way for God to bless myself or bless someone else, I had overlooked. And so I just started thanking God for the fact that God gave us a peaceful home. You know what I mean? Like, we prayed and had our house blessed that when people come into our home, they feel peace. I overlooked that. Right now, I see a junky room with my kids. But this week, when I took inventory, I thought, wow, Lord, we've had some serious conversations in this house. We prayed for people in our small group, in our house, Naren and Melissa. We prayed for them to have a baby. They have a baby that took place in prayer in a group. But I was like, Lord, thanks for the house. Like, we have kids who don't know Jesus running to our house. I'm sure you guys are going to experience that with your kids in your brand new house. It's like, Lord, I have these tools that I sometimes overlook, and it's in my possession. So I was praising God for the house. I was praising God for the car that I won on The Price is Right. Like, that's stupid, but I've been driving it over the last few months as if it was my car, but it was supernaturally given. So I'm like, okay. And then I was thinking about Gabe's first week. Gabe rode the church with me in that car. Like, Oh, so maybe that was a resource to get Gabe into God's house, but I might have thought it was for me. But really, it was like a shuttle system, so that Gabe can get into God's house, get connected to the man cave. And then I was thinking about the man cave and the guys inside of the man cave and how they've been encouraging each other. And I'm just sitting and watching, and they don't know that sometimes I steal what they're saying to each other, and it encourages me. But sometimes I overlook that because I'm just part of it every single week. Are you with me? So if we take inventory, those things become a place of our praise. And then what happens is it gives like a new energy to like, okay, God. So the fact that my kid's room is junky. Sorry, I'm dealing with that issue still. The house is still a place of peace. So that was last week. This week, I want to take a different approach to a familiar passage of scripture. If you've been in church for any amount of time, if this is your first time in church, the story that I'm going to tell today is a story about when Jesus does a miracle. He fed 5,000 people, men. The Bible doesn't mention anything about the women and children that could have been in that community as well. And so the story goes that Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. I'm going to read it, but I want to give you the context if this is your first experience in church, so that I don't just come across and say, hey, this is what it is. And you're like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, right? So Jesus, he's out with his disciples, and there is 5,000 people who are listening to Jesus, and they are hungry. And Jesus says, well, what do we have? And they say, well, the boy has his lunch. And so they go over and take the boy's lunch. That's what everyone calls it. It's really like bread and fish, right? And so it's bread and fish, and Jesus uses it to feed 5,000. And so I'm reading the story this week, and I want to give you this thought that the Holy Spirit gave me. What if the miracle was beyond the meal? Like, I view it from the standpoint of you put it in Jesus's hands, and he multiplies it, he does. Or you give what you have, and then God gives you more. I have. Or he used the disciples, and they were able to be used. Okay. But what if the miracle was beyond the meal? Think about that today as we read Mark chapter 6. You with me? Yeah. Y'all not going to stay quiet, are you? Okay, good. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And can you give me 20 minutes on the time clock? Is it okay if I just preach for 20 minutes? Who'll give me 5 minutes? Just kidding. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Jared's like, here we go. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Catch this. These are the disciples who are out and about ministering without Jesus, okay? They're out doing their thing without Jesus. Verse 31, then Jesus said, let's go by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. How many of y'all have ever been tired? How many of y'all have ever been overloaded? Guess what? So is Jesus. He was working so much, didn't even have time to eat. You ever say that? I don't even have time for myself. Okay, good. Jesus has too. He knows what you've been through. Verse 32, so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them, that's Jesus and the disciples, which I thought was really cool, and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Later in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, Jesus. We were only supposed to be here, but all these people followed us. That's not in there, just so you know. I'm adding all of that. All of these people followed us, and it's already getting late. Send those people away so that they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something for themselves to eat. Verse 37, but Jesus said, you feed them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your word. Challenge us. Let us see what we have so we can use it. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all ready? Let's go. Jesus talking to his disciples. Remember, I gave you the context. It's Jesus feeding the 5,000. I told you that. But I want to just focus on those seven verses that I read in 30 through 37. Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. His disciples have been working all day long. Let's just say they've been working 40 hours a week, a little bit of overtime. They come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, hey, let me tell you everything about the week. So they're going down the list, and Jesus is like, oh, my goodness, have you guys eaten? No, we haven't eaten. Are you tired? Yeah, Jesus, we're tired. He says, you sound a little tired because you've been working all day. Have you ever been so tired where you just haven't eaten? I said that earlier. Let me see your hands just so I can make sure. I just want you to know the disciples were working. They were tired. Jesus recognizes that they were tired, and they hadn't eaten. And Jesus says this to them. He says, let us go over to a quiet place and get some rest. Have you ever been tired where you go, I need to be by myself, get alone so that I can get some rest? Did you notice Jesus' response was, if you're tired, why don't I go with you? If you're tired, we should go together to a quiet place and find rest. I like this scripture, and this is where we're going to land here, because I found that it was amazing that Jesus could have said, well, y'all go ahead and get some rest. I'll handle the rest of the ministry myself. But Jesus says, are you tired? You're tired? Let's go together to a quiet place so that we can get some rest. Jesus didn't allow them to be isolated by themselves. Jesus actually said, I'm just going over this so that I can get some amens. Jesus actually says, don't you be by yourself. I'll go with you to a quiet place so that we can eat and you can get some rest. I'm going to say it again. Jesus doesn't let the disciples be by themselves. Jesus actually says, if you're tired, don't go by yourself. I'll actually go with you. I'll stop the ministry. I'll go with you to a quiet place so that we can eat and get some rest. Still quiet. You're tired. You're tired. Jesus doesn't just say, you go get some rest. He says, why don't I go with you so that we can go to a quiet place, we'll get something to eat, and then we'll get some rest. Jesus doesn't just let you go by yourself. Jesus says, why don't I go with you to a quiet place so that you and I can eat and we can get some rest? So many times you and I go by ourselves to get some rest and we leave Jesus right where he is. That's a lot of work to get us a little fired up. I want us to see that there are some hardworking people who got tired. And they need a break. And Jesus could have easily said, take a day off. I'll do this by myself. But Jesus says, your rest will be found with me. Let's keep going. Here's what I realized. I wonder if the miracle was beyond the meal. I wonder if the miracle is beyond the meal, if it's beyond the feeding of the 5,000, because if you go through the rest of the text, the men keep working. But Jesus says, let's go together to a quiet place and let's get some rest. Here's what the Lord was showing me that's available to you and I. Watch this. You can write this down on your notes. First thing, and again, this is us taking inventory, and this is where the Holy Spirit got me this week. The first thing that I have at my disposal is I have Jesus. How many of us, when we took our inventory, put down Jesus? Because I wrote my house, my car, my friends. And then the Holy Spirit said, Damon, hello. I have Jesus. He says, why don't we go together to a quiet place, get something to eat and rest? And then I was realizing as I was reading that verse, you can put that verse up there, Mark chapter 6, 30 through 31, I think, if it's up there, or you can put the whole passage up there. Look at what he says. He says, let's go off by ourselves. Like, you and me. Nobody else. You and me. He says, let's go over by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. The first thing I have is Jesus. The second thing I have, because Jesus said, let's go to a quiet place, I have Jesus' attention and his leading. Because he says, let's go together to a quiet place. Come on, y'all. I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you a quiet place right over here. So I have Jesus. I have his attention and I have his leading. I wonder how many times we overlook the fact that we simply have Jesus. Come on, somebody. How much do we overlook the fact that we literally have Jesus? If this is your first experience in God's house, can I tell you that Jesus is available to you? I know I'm preaching and I'm communicating and I don't want to give too much Christianese, but Jesus is available to you. The Bible says that he died for you. And honestly speaking, if you were the only one, he would have given his life for you. He didn't just give his life for the church person. No, he gave his life for you. So just so you know, Jesus is available to you today. How many of us overlook the fact that we have Jesus? How many of us take him for granted? Be honest. We take him for granted. Once we get salvation, so many times we're like, I'm good. How? I got this. I'm going to heaven. And we overlook the fact that he's like, quiet place, you and me. Why don't we go off right now? Like, I mean, I don't know if we can see this. Last week when we talked, we talked about Jesus being invited to a wedding. Like, we all think of Jesus as the spiritual side. But Jesus was so cool enough to where they were like, Jesus, we got this wedding. It's happening at 5:00. Can you make it? And Jesus is like, you know what? I ain't doing nothing on Thursday. Thursday is normally when my ministry day. I can't believe y'all put the wedding on Thursday. But you know what? I'm coming. Jesus is so relational. We have Jesus. We write this down. We have his attention and his leadership. How many times do we overlook that? Here's the third thing that we have. We have his rest. He says, come with me. Let's go together to a quiet place so that you can get some rest. I love the fact that Jesus was just so simple. This is the reason why when the Holy Spirit was asking me, like, Damon, maybe the miracle was beyond the meal. There's so much in God's word where when we look at the word of God, it can look like, oh man, God can do a miracle. God can use what I got. Absolutely. 5:2. But what about the rest that I need? I work so hard. I'm working 40 hours. Then I got my kids' activities. And then I'm a husband. I'm a pastor. And then I want to hang out with my own friends. My grass needs to be cut. My cars get dirty. I'm worn out. My wife picks at me because that's my phrase. I am worn out. And then I say, I just need a day to myself. And then this is what I tell Tasha. I'm like, I'm going to go hit a golf ball. Yeah, I do go. But I wonder if there's been times when I was out there hitting a golf ball and I never invited Jesus. And I go back tired because I just spent 4 hours swinging a golf club that makes me tired. Have you ever done that? Where you're like, today's my day off. I'm going to work in the garden. And you're like, ooh, I'm tired. Yeah, I wonder if the thing that we enjoy that is designed to refresh us, the gardening that has been tiring us out, I wonder if it's been tiring us out because we haven't invited Jesus to garden with us. Just a question. I know it seems so elementary because does Jesus really care if I go shopping? He probably doesn't care what you buy, but he would like to hang out with you when you shop. I mean, it is relational, right? I know it might seem so elementary, but what if we did say, Jesus, today's my day off, and I just want to go fishing. You want to come? And he's like, yeah, why don't you go fish on the other side? That's in the Bible. Throw your nets on the other side. We have Jesus. We have his attention, and we have his leading, and we have his rest. I'm going to prove it to you. Psalms 23. Psalms 23 is a scripture. Passage of scripture where people use it sometimes as a prayer. They will use it sometimes to start off a game. They will use it sometimes as a quotable because of what David said. I was studying this out, and it is believed that David wrote Psalms 23 and Psalms 19 when he was in his teenage years, when he was serving out in the field and no one knew who he was. This is how the Passion version of Psalms 23 reads. I want you to listen to this. While you're thinking about, I have Jesus, I have his leading and his attention, and I have his rest. Let's read. Psalms 23 says this, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasures and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I have Jesus. I have his attention and his leading, and I have his rest. That's what David said in Psalms 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, King James. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. David said, if there's one place that I am going to go, is that he's always asking me to take a trip with him. And I find that whenever I take a trip with him, I always leave more empowered than just wasting my time. I find out that when I spend time with God, I'm not just doing my devotion. I'm hanging out with my dad. I find when I'm reading my Bible, I'm not just doing it because I'm a Christian. I'm doing it because I'm in relationship with him. I realize that I'm not just showing up for an appointment to get something. I'm hanging out with him. I love the fact that David says, you lead me. Three things that we have that we sometimes overlook. That if we use what we got, we have Jesus. We have his leading and his attention. And we have his rest. I'm going to give you another verse just in case Psalms 23 didn't do enough. Listen to this one. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Working 40 hours, 50 hours. Don't have margin in your life. Jesus says, hey, why don't you come hang out with me? You need a break? I got that for you. I'll show you where it is. You carrying too much? Let's exchange. Give me your 40 hours. I'll give you what I got. I promise you that what I carry is easier than what you carry. I know that sounds crazy because we make a long list and we've got so much to do. And Jesus is like, if you would just please let me have your list, I promise you, you'll be refreshed. Are you with me? What if the miracle is beyond the meal? What if we use what we got? This week's challenge is, I want to challenge you. Have we overlooked Jesus? I know we worship him in our quiet time. I mean, I know we do that, right? I know that we want to spend time with him because we have to, right? Notice I said have to. That's the pressure we feel. But what if we said, Jesus, I have you. I have your attention, your leading, and I have your rest. I wonder if we use that because we have it. I wonder if we use what we had, if the refreshing that we need will be found in him. Y'all good? So let's keep going. Mark chapter 6, 32 through 37. The Bible says, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it'll pop up on the screen. It says that Jesus says, okay, so here's what we're going to do. You have me. You have my attention. You have my rest. Hop on a boat. Guys, let's go over to the other side. What's really cool is my wife and I, we've been to Israel, and you get to see, like, this story come alive. It's like, it's on one side, and it's on the other side, and you can see it. And then when you hop on the boat, it's even better when it comes alive. So Jesus says, hop on the boat. They hop on the boat. And as they hop on the boat, everyone who wants an encounter with Jesus are like, we ain't gonna let him leave. Jesus is here. Let's go right now. Mary, Sammy, Tyrone, Pookie, Timmy, mom and them, let's go. I don't care what you got. Don't let him go. So they have this urgency, like, he was here, but he's about to get on his boat. Let's go. So the Bible says that they go. They don't even know where he go. You go over to the other side. Look, the only way he can go, he can't go around the corner. He's going to end up on the other side. Hurry up, get on your boat, going to the other side. Okay, I'm trying. I'm rushing. Hey, get on your boat. Hurry up, Jesus on the other side. So they're hopping in their boats all over to the other side, meeting Jesus. When they get there, they're like, hey, Jesus, we ain't know you were coming, but since we're here. The Bible says that Jesus responds to their urgency. Jesus gets off the boat. Now remember, Jesus is tired. He's worked all day. He hadn't eaten. And Jesus comes to him and he says, ooh, they need me bad. Now's not the time to rest. I'm going to give them what I got. Did you see that tag into the message? Use what you got. Jesus had a little left in the tank to go, what I have, I'm going to give them. Because of the compassion and the urgency in them. Jesus says, I got a little something left. I'm still a little tired. Doesn't say that it changed. But he said, I got a little something left to give them. And so it says that he was moved with compassion, and that urgency in others caused Jesus to say, I'm going to give you everything I got. So he starts preaching to them about the kingdom of heaven. And then here come his disciples. Jesus, I thought this was you and I. Jesus, we started this trip to take a break. No one was supposed to be in the place where you said it was just you and I. But these people showed up. Can you please send them home? Because this is a little too much. We worked 50 hours and you said this was going to be us. And Jesus looks at him and he says, give him something to eat. Here's what the Holy Spirit was showing me, because the miracle is beyond the meal. If you're taking notes, write this down. There's an extreme urgency for the presence of God. I'm sorry, for the presence of Jesus. There's an extreme urgency for the presence of Jesus found in the loss, whether I know it or not. See, again, when I'm tired, I can just kind of lose what I got. But there's an extreme urgency for the presence of Jesus found in the loss, whether I know it or not. Did y'all get that? I'm talking extreme urgency for the presence of Jesus, whether you know it or not. Whether it's important to you or not, the extreme urgency exists. And what Jesus is like is, hey, fellas, the mission is the mission, whether you're tired or not. The mission is the mission, whether you're tired or not. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I know you and I work 40, 50 hours a week, but the mission is not about us building our own life. The mission is about us getting people to Jesus. Where you and I get tired is that we lose sight of the mission. And we don't have Jesus. We don't have his attention, and we don't take advantage of his rest. So we work, 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 work. Jesus, you mean to tell me you're going to be preaching again? You mean to tell me that you're going to see people come into the kingdom again while we tired? Y'all with me? Is that a little too harsh? See, when we're just going and we don't include him and we don't focus on the fact that we have his attention and we don't take advantage of his rest, we get a little like Jesus, come on, eh? Okay, they invaded my space. And Jesus is like, I'm going to show you that I'm going to use what I got. And then he tells them, hey, feed them. But Jesus, we tired. No, Jesus is like, what you don't understand is that even from the little short boat ride that we had, the minutes that we had, you may have missed the fact that that was a refreshing place. You rode on the boat with me. We got to our destination. Let's go. Because the mission is all about getting people back to Jesus. So Jesus is like, I'm going to use what I got. You had me from here to here. The story doesn't say how long it took. He's like, let's go. The mission is getting lost people saved. You know what? I realize, and you guys can write this down too. Here's some questions. Here's some questions. I got questions. You can see that on your note. Watch this. Watch this. Write this down. Do I really care about lost people? Like, honestly, ask yourself that. Do I really care? Don't give the Christian answer. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. No, honestly, do I really care? Do I really care? Second question, do I even notice? Number three or number four, is someone else's salvation or problem my urgent concern? Is someone else's salvation or problem my urgent concern? Because Jesus made it clear, like, hey, guys, listen, these people are urgent to encounter us, because the Bible says that the people started chasing them. Like, is someone else's salvation or problem my urgent concern? And then let's flip question number one and make it question number four. What am I doing about it? Because the miracle in this story is beyond the meal. It's beyond the meal. Jesus is actually in the first seven verses refreshing them and making sure that they realize that at their disposal is Jesus, his attention and leading and rest. Available to you and I in our home today is Jesus, his attention and his rest. Today I'm speaking to your spirit because we go. I would never preach anything that I felt like the Lord wasn't dealing with me, just so you know. Are you with me? I wouldn't just come up here and just preach some sort of good message. So many times, Ty and I will pay the price for whatever we deliver. And God will kick our behind, and then once he finished kicking our behind, he says, now you can talk about it, right? So there's so many times when we will go and go and go, and the Lord's like, once you include me, your rest will be so much better. So today I'm speaking to all of us as we end our year. If you're like me, I'm already thinking about 2020. But November and December are still here, has so much potential. So many more people to be saved. This year alone at City Place Church, 107 people have met Jesus. But can I tell you? Oh, yeah, that's good. Yep, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's really good. But look, over the last few weeks, we haven't had anybody respond during our altar calls. We may have gotten a little slack with our invitations. We may not be hungry. At the beginning of the year, we said that we wanted to pull Orlando out of the top 10 in most unchurched and dechurched cities in America. We might have gotten a little bit more inner focused. So the Lord's been like, Damon, top 10, pull them off in the job, on the sports field. I know we're tired. But I have Jesus, his attention, and his rest. My friends have to be saved, y'all. My family has to be saved. Anybody feel like that? My coworkers have to be saved. I'm serious. Orlando has to come out of the top 10. We had 72 million people visit Orlando. 72 million people visit Orlando, and we're in the top 10 in most unchurched and dechurched cities in America. What if we pulled that out and said, no, use what we got. We got Jesus, his leading, and his rest, all in our city, all in our homes. Here we go. Two final thoughts, and then I'm going to introduce a special guest. Write these down. Should be on your notes. The worst mistake I can make is losing my sense of urgency for lost people because I'm tired or don't have the time. The worst mistake I can make is losing my sense of urgency for lost people because I'm tired or don't have the time. The worst mistake I can make is losing my sense of urgency for lost people because I'm tired or don't have the time. So let's wrap this story up. Jesus is speaking with his disciples. He says, you have me, you have my attention and my leading, and you have my rest. Let's go to the quiet place. They're on their boat. They get over to the other side. Jesus models for them. He's like, okay, guys, here we go. Here's the word of the Lord to all of the masses. The men go, Jesus, what are you doing? We need the rest. And Jesus looks at him, and he says this, you feed them. You feed them. This week, I want to challenge you. Here's my challenge. I want you to use what you got so that our spirit and our soul can be refreshed this week. You with me? I'm two challenges. First one is I want you to find rest in the presence of the Lord in everything you do this week. I want you to be silly, okay? This is what I mean. You going somewhere, Jesus, will you come with me today? You got that? I know that sounds real silly, but I'm just going to say it. Jesus, I'm going to the mall. You want to hang? It seems a little silly. I know it does. But why don't we start the practice so that he's always with us? When you go into your quiet time, Jesus, I'm looking forward to spending time with you today. Where is the quiet place and the restful place in my quiet time with you today? You with me? Second question that I want us to do, because last week it was taking inventory of the things that we don't have and the things that we do have. This day, I'm identifying that we have Jesus. Nothing else. That's it. Just Jesus. And then while you're spending time with Jesus, I want you to answer those questions that I gave you. Do I even notice the lost person? Do I really care? What am I going to do about it? And then write down one name, one person that you'd like to see saved. Ask God to use you. You with me? So I stopped on this last point because the sense of urgency for the presence of Jesus is real. And you and I have to identify it. This past summer, my wife and I, we were in Israel. And if you were here at the beginning of the year, one of the vision points for our church was that we wanted to partner with a ministry in Israel, and we wanted to begin to sow into Israel. Well, little did we know that one of the churches that is like family to us would send us to Israel, and we would make a personal connection. And so since June, we have been sowing our kingdom finances into the nation of Israel. And I said this last week, is that when we are in the nation of Israel, we were there, they said this. They said that when one person comes to know Jesus, it has literally taken almost a year sometimes. And they go crazy. We sometimes take it for granted. Oh, okay, well, you know, in a room full of people, hey, one person getting saved, okay. Or as a pastor sometimes, I can be disappointed because I know there's more. And no one raised their hand. And then the Holy Spirit's just like, what if the miracle is beyond the meal? And so this morning, my wife and I, we want to have a conversation with someone who is seeing the kingdom work take place in Israel and can talk a little bit about the urgency of people needing to know the Lord that's different in versus the United States. We can get complacent. But when you're desperate and your life is on the line, it changes your perspective. Are you with me? So the ministry that we sow into every single month is called Streams in the Desert. And we just so happen to have its founder and someone who lives in the nation of Israel. She has become a friend. Miss Mariana Gall is here to hang out with us. Can we honor Miss Mariana? Come on, Miss Mariana, we have a spot for you here. And she said that she was coming to the States for a conference, and we were like, you have to come. And so what I did was I took away from my preaching time. I did, because I wanted them to spend time with you. Come on up here, Ty. And so normally I go about an hour and a half. No, yeah, I'm kidding. She said, are you kidding? Yes, that's way, way, way too long. Yes. Let me turn this on for you here. Oh, check that right there.
Yes, now I'm on.
Yes. And so what's really cool this morning, City Place, is, and we told this to our team, is that you get to see in front of you today visible harvests of the seeds that we've sown. You get to see a story of what was a prayer request in January, right in front of us. So if you've been faithful in your tithing and your giving, here's your harvest. Yeah. I just want you to see that it works. Are you with me? And so it's really cool for us to be able to share some moments with you.
That's very cool for me too.
I know.
Hi, City Church.
So go ahead.
It's a little bit difficult for us to kind of put our minds around what it's like to be Jewish, to come into a relationship with Yeshua, but you know. And so I'm wondering if you might be able to share with us and give us a little bit more of a heartbeat picture. How difficult might that be for a young person or any person who's in the nation of Israel to understand the message of the Messiah?
Well, it is a complicated issue, which is kind of funny because, you know, the lost in the nations is sort of a basic issue, kind of go, they're lost, they don't know Yeshua. Oh, by the way, that's his name, Jesus, Yeshua, that's how his mom called him, and that's how I'm used to calling him, but it's the same person. So you go, you know, the nations, they don't know Yeshua, you take His grace, His presence, His, you exalt Him and He draws all things unto Him. Simple deal. With Israel, there's one little point. Apostle Paul is talking about it in the book of Romans a lot. God is hiding His face from Israel. There is a veil. It is in the scriptures. It kind of sounds weird, but it is in the scriptures a lot. If we look at the covenant that God made with Israel, we think that the breaking of the covenant, the payment for that, is exile. But it's not really. If we look at it carefully, the payment for the breaking of the covenant, God says, I'm going to hide my face from you until you will cry out to me and say, I want all these things happening to us because God's face is hidden from us. Until you will be brought back from the nations to which I exiled you, and I will hide my face from you no more. Until this will happen, and this will happen. And we're living in this amazing times today because one of the criteria that God is listing repeatedly, Ezekiel speaks about it 3 times, but also we can find it in other prophets. He says, I will bring them back from the lands to which I exiled them, and I will hide my face from them no more. It's Ezekiel 39, and I'm sitting in front of you today as a sign of times. My family lived in Russia and in Northern Europe for over 2,000 years. He brought me back from the lands to which he exiled me. He brought my mom back as well. We live in the land of Israel. It wasn't on our radar. It was divine work. There's 7 million people today that live in the land of Israel. 100 years ago, there were hardly any Jews there. So we're living in the time when they're brought back. The nation, my people, is brought back to the lands to which we were exiled. And he says, and I will hide my face from them no more. So this is element number one. This is where this season we live in. So when in the past you preach the gospel, you serve, you give, you cry, you intercede. And as Pastor Damon was saying, one person comes to the Lord in a year. And you feel like you're beating your head against the wall. No more. We're living in a different time now. We're going to see more and more people coming in. What happens is, even with the remnant of believers that are in the land, like I work a lot with teenagers, right? Teenagers want to belong. It's very natural. You go to school, you're the only believer in the school, the only believer. If you're open and vocal about it, you're going to become ostracized. You're going to be completely isolated. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be bullied. If you're alone and you're 15, it's almost impossible for you to be vocal about it. It is illegal in Israel to evangelize minors. The only way I could reach those teens in those schools is if our teens will become vocal. So we pour out every ounce we have into the discipling those who already walk with the Lord to strengthen them to go into the schools as you go into the field of battle. Then every Israeli young person goes into the army. You're the only believer in your unit. If you want your quiet time with the Lord, you need to be vocal about it. Because by law, if you're religious, you get quiet time. But then you need to go to your superiors and you can say, and you need to say, I'm messianic. And they will go, what's that? And you would say, well, I'm a Jewish person who believes in Jesus. And they would go, what kind of nonsense is that? And then you have to defend your faith. That is the reality that we're living in. Some people, when they come to the Lord and from a more traditional families, their families would turn against them. I know some believers whose families actually had funeral for them when they became believers because it's like your dad. My family was not very upset with me because they are quite secular and they thought that Jesus is better than cocaine. So they're like, okay, that's fine. But in many cases, it's an extreme isolation. We are still a small community. We are on the threshold of amazing change in our nation. And that change will affect each and every one of you in Orlando. It's going to change the way we do faith. That's pretty exciting.
I just want to make sure that we all digested what Mariana just said. I mean, the process of becoming a believer is not like just changing your socks. It is, when I make a decision to follow Jesus, it is a 100% life change. And sometimes it's a rejection of my uncles and my parents and my brothers and sisters. And I also want to make sure that we all heard that it is illegal to share your faith
with minors
in the land. So imagine those really formative years when people are learning and experiencing God. It is illegal. And so I want to talk a little bit about the ministry that you run and have and what you see. And I want to change. Give us a little bit of a glimpse of what it is that you're doing, the ministry that everyone in this room is sowing into.
But can you do it by telling us how you came to know Jesus and then tie that in to your ministry?
I can. I came to know Yeshua in 1991 in St. Petersburg, Russia. That's where I was born. That's where I grew up. It was a two-step process. First, I got a divine revelation. I actually had a bit of a, if we're going to call things by their own name, I had drug-induced psychosis. That's what I was experiencing, and I couldn't sleep. And I thought that if I will take a magic book and read from it, I will be calmed down. Why did I think that one of those magic books is the Bible? Because I saw my girlfriend's future telling using the Bible. They would open it up, go, and say, this is what's going to happen. Very, very dangerous thing to do, because some things that are happening there are going to mess you up. But anyway... I opened the Bible, I read something, I don't remember what, but all of a sudden, like this, I knew God exists, he is real, he is the king of the universe, and I'm not pleasing him. So I knew, I felt like I'm about to die. The next morning, I went to a synagogue, had very interesting conversation with the rabbi. At some point, he said to me, well, God is a fascinating concept. And I'm like, no, not a concept. I like know nothing about the God, this God of yours, but I feel him breathing down my neck. He's not a concept. So the next step, I was in the Russian Orthodox Church. And by then, I like literally felt that I'm going to die. Like I need to reconcile with this God or I'm dead. So I walked into this church and there's this monk walking around, very serious. And I walked up to him and I said, you know, I think I need to become a nun. Because I thought God is never angry at nuns, so I thought that would be a shortcut. And you see, normal people laugh, and you would have laughed even harder if you saw me back then. Like half of my hair was green, and I had safety pins in my ears. But he didn't laugh. He just looked at me like this, up and down, and he said, well, it's a long process. And I said, yeah, let's start today. So this is how I started walking with faith. 7 months later, a friend of mine invited me to Campus Crusade for Christ conference. And at Campus Crusade for Christ, I had born-again experience. Like I knew from the moment I walked into the room, I felt like a hot air hit me in the face. And I knew my heart was changed in me. I knew it was not my old heart. So I later realized that that was born again. And I started speaking in tongues, which was never Campus Crusade for Christ intention. But then it started me on this walk, on this path of rediscovering my Jewish roots, connecting my Jewish roots to my faith in Jewish Messiah, which is in our world today not that easy to do because we've separated two things so far away. And yet it's the most Jewish thing one can do is to believe in Jewish Messiah. In fact, the only way you can believe in Jewish Messiah is if you grafted it into Israel. At least that's what the Bible is saying. So that process took time. And then I started working in the Messianic congregation, and then the Lord started speaking to my heart and brought me to Israel. 97, I moved to Israel. And I started working, ministering in a Messianic congregation in Netanya. And when I was serving there, the Lord started speaking to me about widows and orphans. And that issue grew and grew and grew. At that time, one of my main callings was intercession. So I thought I just need to pray about it more. And as I prayed, my home group that I run became home group for single moms. And the Lord started telling me on how biblical definition for widow is not a woman whose husband is dead. The biblical definition for widow is a woman who had a covering and for whatever reason lost it. We know it by how the word is used in the scripture. The Hebrew word is almana, and it's used for Israel, for example. We know Israel's husband is not dead. The word almana is also used for the wives of King David when he puts them away in the house of the widows. They're not poor. They're not destitute. They're not alone. The husband is still alive. But they're widows because they don't have intimacy with their husband anymore. And when I started realizing that, I realized that the modern day widows are single moms and divorced women. They're modern-day widows. And the mandate of the body of Messiah stayed the same. It didn't change. Make them the priority. So as that was stirring in my spirit, the Lord spoke to me and he said, it's time. It was kind of a little bit mysterious because what he said, and I remember it was very clear, he said, it's time for the servants of preparation to move to places of preparation. And I think I knew immediately that for me, it meant the desert. I know that for all of you, it means different things. And many of us are servants of preparation. And it is time for us to be stationed, to be deployed, and be ready and fully plugged in to the work of preparation. So for me, it meant the desert. And as I moved to the desert, the Lord said, I asked him, because I had a nice job. So I was like, what? Am I leaving my nice job? What's happening here? And how am I going to make my living? And what's going to happen? And he said to me, well, first you move, and then we talk. And it's very much like him. I think most of us have experienced that. And it is terrifying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm single because I can't even imagine what people go through when they have to do it with spouses and kids. I'm like, are they ever going to be normal ever again? No. No. So I moved to the desert and after about 6 months of waiting on the Lord said, your focus are widows, orphans, strangers in the land. It was almost 12 years ago. Mary Ann, my friend who's sitting here, she was part of the community in which we lived. They lived in Israel for over 15 years. That was the time when they were there. They helped me get the ministry off the ground. And we started focusing on widow, orphan, stranger in the land. It's like God's package deal. You're good to them, he's good to you. but it's not a pragmatic kind of calculation. It's just you care for what he cares, and they're the passion of his heart. They're the apple of his eye. The little ones of Israel, the ones that don't have voice, the ones that don't feel empowered, focusing on lifting them up, elevating them up. Isaiah 61 says, I'm sending you to the marginalized, to the hungry, to the lonely, to the brokenhearted, so that they can become the restorers of the ancient ruins. So that's the ministry. It has practical elements to it, not only prophetic. A lot of practical elements. But I think, is that enough of the overview? Okay, great.
Is that blessing? Yes. For real, huh? It's for real. So if we can, we would love to pray for you.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
But we would also like to do something else.
Yes.
Dance? So, no dancing here. Oh. One of the things that you shared with us is that at the end of every month, at least the last few months, there's been a shortfall financially. I don't mean to put that out there. But what we wanted to do as a church, we wanted to handle that shortfall for November and December.
Wow.
As a church. Is it okay if we do that?
Well, is it okay for me?
No, it's not. Thank you.
Yay, God.
You'll take it?
Thank you.
It's around here somewhere if I don't have it. But one of the things that's been important for our church was that we wanted to be extremely generous this year. And we, when we left, we actually told the church that we heard what your shortfall was, and we were like, Lord, we just can't do that, you know. And then my wife goes, but Damon, we're going to pray that we can. And there's so many faithful tithers and givers in this house, so much so to where we've been able to respond to some of the things that we said, and we have been able to be in a place to where we are now able to do that for you for November and December. We just felt like November, December can be when you're in ministry or in a nonprofit, you could feel the pressure of that. Mm. And we felt like the Holy Spirit wanted us to just let you go into 2020 with a little bit of rest.
I appreciate it very, very
can
much.
Can we? Thank is that you. Awesome, City Place? And we just.
You. Oh, yes, it is.
Like,
thank you, guys.
Bless
thank
them.
You so much.
And so we also like to pray for you.
That would be great.
Because I know that it's not just financial. You have Sudanese girls that, y'all, we've just like almost adopted some girls. Taisha got to do a video chat with some of the Sudanese girls because not a lot of people know that there's a lot of people that have been planted mm-hmm. In Israel from brown-skinned countries.
Yep.
Amen.
Those.
And so nations. And so one of the things was that when some of our brown-skinned girls, they feel less than. And one of the needs was seeing some more brown-skinned people speak life into those girls to build confidence.
Yes.
And we were able to do that last month. And so
Hallelujah.
It's just cool to see what the Lord is doing. But if we can pray for you,
oh yes,
that would be great. Awesome. Let's pray, y'all. Will you stretch your hands forth? Just power of agreement over Mariana. Father, we just thank you for what you called her to, designed her for. And we just thank you, Lord God, that the nation is going to see extreme urgency, but also extreme harvest. God, we thank you for the power of her yes. Thank you, Lord God, that as a church, we could come around her, not only pray for her, sow into her, but also cheer her on. God, we thank you that her labor is not in vain. God, we just pray a refreshing right now as she's here in the States at a conference. God, I pray that she has amazing time with you, that she has your attention, and that she has your rest. I thank you, Lord God, that you're using what she's got. And God, I thank you that this next year of 2020 is going to be a year of extreme harvest for her, for the seeds that she's sown. God, your word says that those who water will themselves be watered. And I thank you that she's walking into a season where everything that you place on her heart, she doesn't have to worry about the small details. All she has to do is expect a harvest. Protect her and keep her as she's on the front line. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We honor you today. We honor you today. Can we celebrate Mariana?
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.